Good evening, everybody. Very warm welcome. I'll extend my own welcome. My name's Simon. I'm the associate vicar here, and it's a great joy to study God's word with you tonight. So please keep that passage in Mark open on page 1004. We're going to have a look at that, what that means for us tonight. But let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this glorious day of Pentecost, where you sent your Spirit on your disciples. Father, would you send your Spirit on us? Would you fill us afresh and open our eyes to the wonders of your word, your majesty, the glories of Jesus? And would you fill us and send us in the same Spirit to work with you in sharing the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection with the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at that passage, and we're in the middle of a sermon series looking at Mark's Gospel and drawing some inspirations from Mark's Gospel about how we might share our faith more effectively. And as you heard earlier, we've been thinking about this vision over the interregnum, about 52, seeing 52 lives transformed by the love of Christ and new people coming to faith, which is a really, really exciting vision. And so this sermon series is kind of based around that, to try and encourage us in sharing our faith with those we meet in everyday life. And so tonight's topic is really about sharing our faith, where that would be, the place, and the people that God would have us share that with. And well, hopefully we'll draw some inspiration from this passage tonight. So we'll look at Mark chapter 2. So what do we see in this passage? Well, at the very beginning, we knew that Jesus is in Capernaum, a town right in the north of Israel on the Sea of Galilee. And we saw that Christos showed us where that was last week. And then this week he's still by the lake, as you can see in verse 13, and a large crowd has come to him, and he's begun to teach them. Jesus then sees Levi, a tax collector, sitting in a booth, and he says to Levi, "Follow me," and Levi gets up and follows him. Jesus then goes with his disciples to eat dinner with his disciples and Levi, and also some other tax collectors. So Jesus has been teaching, he's seen Levi in the booth, and he's invited him, and then Levi invites Jesus and his disciples and all his other colleagues to eat dinner together. And this caused a stir with the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, who saw him eating, Jesus that is, with the sinners and tax collectors, and they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And then we see Jesus' response in verse 17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous." Not called to call the righteous, but sinners. Let me get that right. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. There we go. So we're going to look at this tonight, and it's a really radical passage. I've been struck as I've been reading on it and praying through it, just about how radical Jesus really is. He's just brilliant. I know we all love Jesus, but he really is amazing, and I love what he does in this passage. And I just hope that that's something of what has rubbed off on me this week will kind of rub off on you as we go through this passage. Because there's a radical calling going on here with Jesus. And it's a radical calling for two reasons. One is that Jesus is going to this place, into Levi's house, which is a huge deal, as we'll look at in a moment. It's a radical thing that Jesus is doing, going and eating with this guy Levi, a tax collector. Because he's crossing social boundaries in a way that we don't necessarily see on a cursory reading of this Bible text. So it's just amazing what Jesus is doing, and I'll unpack that in a minute. But also the people he's going to eat with. Is amazing what Jesus is doing. And the life transformation that would have occurred for Levi and the other tax collectors there at this event is absolutely staggering, which is why it's such a great passage and why we've chosen it for tonight. So there we are. We're looking about how the place and the people, where Jesus has gone and the people he's meeting with, and hopefully drawing some inspiration about how that might impact how we share our faith. So first of all, the place. Well, Jesus' calling cuts across many, many cultural boundaries. So tax collectors, I mean, they're not popular these days, but back then, 2,000 years ago, they were the worst of the worst. because they were collecting taxes from the king at the time, King Herod Antipas, who was like this puppet king who the Romans had put installed to kind of rule as a governor in Israel at that time. And the Jews hated them because he was kind of a half-Jew. He wasn't a proper king. He shouldn't have really been on the throne. And he was ruthless. And what would happen was is the tax collectors would collect tax on behalf of Herod. But they wouldn't be paid a salary to do that. They would charge what they needed, pay to Herod what he demanded, and then skim their salary off the top of the taxes that they're collected. So therefore they were charging people basically whatever they wanted in terms of ordering their own salary. And quite often that would mean extorting more money from the poor because they couldn't fight for themselves. And with this kind of reputation going on, there was a stigma attached to tax collectors that labelled them in the same sort of category, if you like, as outcasts, of people with diseases, of adulterers. They were ridiculed so much and ostracized so much that they weren't allowed to bear witness in a Jewish court. They weren't allowed to go for the role of judge either. They were expelled from the synagogue. And the shame that tax collectors had, because they would have been Jewish, went into their families as well. It was projected onto their families. So not only were the tax collectors ostracized and stigmatized, but so were their whole families. So you can imagine this kind of stir that Jesus is creating as he goes and has this meal with these social outcasts. Jesus then, in the calling of Levi, is cutting across all of these stigmas and social boundaries. And that's why he's being criticized by the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, if you look in verse 16. They saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, and they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see, in the Pharisees' view, it would have been totally inappropriate for the Messiah figure or any religious leader to go and even be close to sinners such as tax collectors. Even just by association, you would have somehow been polluted or defiled. And certainly this wasn't the fitting of the hope of the Messiah. The Messiah wouldn't go and hang out with people like that, no. He was going to challenge the Romans and bring purity to Israel. So in the Pharisees' mind, this was a big no-no. Jesus shouldn't have been going out and hanging out with sinners such as these. And a Pharisee, almost by definition, means separatist. And the Pharisees had this fear of breaking the law of Moses, so much so that they would ring-fence it, they would hedge it in with an external oral tradition, because they were so frightened of breaking Moses' laws. And much of that oral tradition was about purity and ritual, about being clean so that God would accept you. So you would avoid anything that would defile you in any way. And they would put these safety rules. This oral tradition was like a safety rule around Moses' tradition. It's a bit like you're allowed to do 50. Moses says you can do 50 miles per hour. And they would say, well, no, we don't want to get anywhere near that, so we'll put a speed limit of like 30 miles an hour in, and that way we'll know we'll never get near 50, and that way we'll be totally safe. In fact, even doing 40 in a 50 was probably frowned upon. So in the eyes of the laws of Moses then, Jesus is doing absolutely nothing wrong in going and being associated with these sinners. So Jesus calling Levi, we see Jesus breaking down social stigma. They were never part of God's law in the first place. And this is further enhanced as Jesus isn't following the protocol that rabbis would do. Rabbis were teachers, and the way that rabbis worked was that disciples would come to them. They'd say, well, I like that particular rabbi, I like his particular teaching, I'll go up to that guy and I'll see if he'll accept me. And if you were bright enough, they would accept you. If you were competent enough, they would accept you into their particular rabbinic school of teaching. So it was very much that the disciples sought out the rabbi, whereas Jesus is totally reversing that around. He is going to the sinners, to the disciples, as the rabbi, and going to them and seeking them out. Really radical in his day. And then we get to that verse, don't we? In 50, oh no, we've gone into another song, look. Gone way ahead of ourselves. Don't want to start singing now. Here we get to the reverse. Jesus seeks out Levi and has dinner with him. The rabbi calls the sinner and meets him on his own turf. Totally radical. So Jesus is breaking down social stigmas, cultural boundaries, religious systems, and educational systems in this one single act of calling Levi and going and have dinner with him. And I love the spiritual direction of this kind of missional, if you like, activity, this direction that God is taking. This is all God's initiative. Levi was just going about his job, sitting in the booth, collecting taxes as he always had done. It was God in Jesus that went to him and sought him out. Jesus then meets people where they are, on their patch, even when they're not expecting it. We've just heard that reading in Pentecost, haven't we, about how God sends his Holy Spirit onto the church. We get that same sense of direction in that reading too. As we celebrate on Pentecost, God sends his Spirit. God takes the initiative to empower us to go and share our faith. And he shares that on all kinds of people, as we saw in the end of that reading, didn't he? Where men and women, young and old, people of all nations, all languages, are filled with the Holy Spirit, all barriers broken down in this new community. So sharing our faith then can never be this principle of we invite people onto our turf, into our way of life straight away. God is a God of mission and he has a church. Mission isn't something that we stick on the end of discipleship or something like that. No, God sends us out to go out, to take the initiative, to go and meet people where they are. And that's a key thing. God is a God of mission and he has a church. So being spirit-filled then, sharing our faith, will mean going in to the pubs, to clubs, to our workplaces, into uni, wherever that might be, and sharing our faith appropriately. The place then for sharing our faith is out there. Let's look at the second thing Jesus does here, which is the people. See, in sharing our faith, we will see Jesus transform lives, just as he does here with Levi. And this is why this calling is so radical for Levi. We see the extent of Jesus' ministry, the gospel, the good news. That is, the power of Christ's salvation working in a believer's heart. When someone understands that Jesus is Lord and decides to follow him, that's the gospel. And we see that good news of Jesus transforming lives takes effect. So here we see in verse 15, Jesus has dinner. And this is far more than just accepting a hospitality, "Hi, come round for lunch." It's much more than that. See, dinner in Jesus' culture was a celebration. This is a dinner to celebrate the fact that Jesus has called Levi. A bit like we would celebrate after a baptism or a wedding. We would have a big meal together to celebrate the occasion. And that's what's happening here with this dinner. And eating was a sign of friendship. It was a sign of sharing life, just like we have church breakfast in the morning or church lunch. That's why we do it, because it's a way of doing life together. We break down our barriers over lunch, don't we, and meals. We open up a little bit, we relax, and our conversations are very much different as we relax over a meal. And it was the same back then. But perhaps more significantly even than that was that having a meal together was a way that you settled after a dispute. So if you'd fallen out with someone, one way of reconciling with the other person was to invite them round for a meal and let bygones be bygones. It was a sign of friendship. It was a sign of reconciliation. And that's staggering when you think that this is God in Jesus going and having a meal with a sinner. How wonderful is that? This is about Levi coming back into right relationship with God. He's being restored into relationship with God. That's the symbolism of the meal. But the transformation doesn't stop there. Put yourself into Levi's shoes. You were ostracized, stigmatized, hated even by your own countrymen. Your whole family despised and hated. It'd be like your kids being ridiculed and bullied at school just simply for your father's profession. And that's all you'd experienced probably all of your life. And you knew that the way that you were earning your living was sinful, it was dishonest. That if you had any kind of integrity at all, you knew that the way that you were going about earning your living was not right. Imagine having that stigma on you. And what does Jesus do in reaching Levi and transforming his life. Not only does he get reconciled with God and Jesus, but he's brought into this wonderful new community, the community of his disciples. Did you note how the disciples are there with them? In time, this community would become the church, as we heard again in our reading in Acts 2. And that's what we celebrate. And we see Christians of all nations in the worldwide church. It's amazing to see. In fact, even here tonight, we have people from different cultures, different backgrounds. And if you come in the morning, you'll see people from all over the world. That's how much Jesus' healing and restoration and transformation has affected the whole world. It's so wonderful to be part of a church family where you've got people from South Africa, from America, from China, all joined together and unified around Jesus Christ because he has touched their lives and transformed their lives. Why have you come to church tonight? Maybe to see some friends? Or is it because you've tasted something of Jesus and known that touch in your own life, that transformational effect where all you can do is worship? And isn't this testimony of Jesus at work? Here we are, all ages, different backgrounds. Wonderful to see. And that's the community that Levi has been drawn into, having been totally ostracized. He's brought back into this loving community, the church. So in this light then, we can see the extent as we go to Jesus' metaphor at the end. Jesus says, doesn't he, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Here we are. I know I'm here tonight, probably the worst of sinners. And Jesus has transformed my life, and I do what I do because of the transformational effect that he's had in my life. And there's many of you sitting here tonight because of the transformational effect of the gospel in your heart. So grateful to be here doing what I do. So Jesus has been calling back and restoring sinners back to fellowship with God and drawing them into this transformed community of the church for 2,000 years, and that's awesome. So what does this mean for us today? How do we put this into practice as I close? Well, Jesus' calling of sinners and Levi doesn't exclude the righteous. It's not saying that the righteous aren't called. No, it's saying that God has a heart for all. But there's a warning here for us as a church. Perhaps we've been coming to church for many years, that maybe we, if you like, the healthy, aware, we need to be really aware of our attitudes, particularly towards others. We can show illness, if you like, if our attitudes aren't right. We cannot show contempt for the outsider or the marginalized. And you think about church history, how the church has gone out to the poor, to the lepers. They've set up hospitals and schools and education systems all over the globe. It's amazing what the church has done to go out and reach the marginalized. And this missional activity of God seems to relish seeking out those who recognize their condition. The tax collectors, the sinners, would have all been so aware of the sin in their lives. And I think this is maybe one of the beginning places of our sharing our faith, is listening to the conversations that we have with people. Where is the brokenness in their lives? Where does Jesus need to bring in his healing? Are we sensitive to those conversations where perhaps our work colleagues or our friends or where it is, where there's pain in their lives? Are they aware that that might actually say something about how God might want to meet with them and touch them to bring healing and reconciliation? See, if we can't recognize the sin, and that's the bad stuff that we do, it's also the bad stuff that happens to us, it's the stuff that affects us and gets in the way of holistic living and a life with God. If we're not able to recognize that, then we can't do anything about it. That's why we need a doctor. That's why Jesus came. And Jesus himself is the antidote. We'll be celebrating in a moment Holy Communion, how Jesus paid the price for every sin, that we could be washed clean and the effects of sin destroyed. So be listening to the brokenness in people's lives as you get to know them, gently and with respect. But it's only when we're sick that we realize we need a doctor. And I think we need to be challenged too, that it's very easy to go to our friends and talk to our friends about Jesus. But what about the marginalized in our society? Who are the people that maybe you don't know, that perhaps, and we all have them, our prejudice might stop us going and just sharing life with them or helping them? We need to be really careful. And I think that says a lot about our church culture too. Our welcome needs to be genuine and open to all. As a church, are we welcoming everyone? It's very easy to be chatting to our friends at the end of a service. Well, what about the person sitting on their own or that person that no one's talking with? Why don't we be the person to go over and just say, hi, how are you doing? Where are you from? Really important that as a church, we model the acceptance of all, the love of all, and then to challenge them and encourage them in their walk with Jesus. So sharing our faith then is about prayerfully listening to what God is doing in people's lives and then standing alongside them, perhaps for many years, to bring Jesus into that situation, to bring his healing. And then to invite them into his transformed community where we can nurture and care for them and see them grow, to flourish, to become the people God has created them to be, just as it happened with Levi. Jesus took him, brought him into his new community, and Levi, I'm sure, would have been transformed by that experience of the gospel and his experience of being accepted into a new, loving church family. So the place is out there, and the people are us, and God is calling us to go out to draw people into a new relationship with him. And we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your heart of compassion and love that sought out sinners, people who society had rejected. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing got in the way of that. Thank you for this story, that your love reached even to the most unlovable. And Lord, I thank you that for many of us here tonight, your love has reached out and drawn us into yourself. Help us never to take that for granted. And in a moment, we'll come to share the wonderful gifts of bread and wine, where we celebrate that through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we can come into a new relationship with you and be washed clean of all of that sin, and that we celebrate gathered around as a meal, being your church, being your transformed people. A church gathered round the cross, sharing in fellowship together to encourage one another. And Lord, with that transformation that happens as we encounter your gospel and allow you to transform our lives, would you not leave us there? Would you send us out, as you have been doing, to go and share that good news with others and draw them into a living relationship with you? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.